just, you know, silly stuff or just, you know. God desires that relationship with us. God desires we're honest with Him. God desires we talk to Him. It's God's desire that we listen to Him, because God is there and God is real and God is inside of us. And we have such a source that we don't even realize sometimes in God. Such a source inside of us to draw our hope from and our strength from and our help from. You know, we do get very busy with life. You know, most people, you know, well, I wouldn't say most people, but a lot of people are working. Some work two or three jobs. Some, both parents work two or three jobs. We're raising children. Some of you are raising grandchildren. You've got money problems. You've got relationship problems. You've got health problems. You've got medical bills. You've got gas almost $4 a gallon. You've got milk $4 a gallon. Things keep going up, and you're like, how can I ever get ahead? How can I make it in life? And we seem to forget that we have help with the Lord, and that He is the one that provides for us, the one that blesses us, the one that takes care of us, the one that protects us. We don't have to go through life one more day feeling like we're alone, because we're not. We don't have to go through life one more day thinking nobody cares, because they do. You don't have to face one more day in your life ever thinking that nobody hears you or understands what you're going through. Maybe your mom and dad don't understand what you're facing. Maybe your wife doesn't know what you're facing. Your husband doesn't know what you're going through. Your friends don't know what you're going through. Your boss at work doesn't know what you're facing. But God does. God knows every fear in your heart. God knows every distress signal you send out. God knows every despairing moment you have. God knows every temptation, every challenge, everything that tried to draw you away from Him. God knows that. But yet God loved us so much, as we read in His Word, that He gave His life for us, that He could have a relationship with us. See, Christianity is not some kind of big religion. It truly is being a follower of Christ. It is letting the living God live inside of us to help us and to strengthen us. He wants to be our God, and He wants us to be His people, as the Bible says. We'll read that in just a minute. God has desire for us to be His. And we search for answers in so many places that doesn't give us truth. You know, I mean, we think, all of us, not just young people anymore, it's older folks that ought to know better, we think everything we see on the internet's truth. Everything on the internet, that's the truth because the web said it. Really? There is so much bull on the web, you can't know what truth is anymore. And then we try to seek out truth with our friends or with coworkers or with somebody else, and we try to find that satisfaction. I just need this, I just need this, I just need that. Man, if I could just have this outlet, or if I could just experience this, then I would be happy and I'd have peace. We can have no peace, truly no peace, outside of God's presence. Because we were meant to be in God's presence. We were designed to be in God's presence. We were created to be in God's presence. In the very beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, He created them to serve Him, to worship Him, to love Him, and to be a part of His kingdom. He created that. He created Adam and Eve to be husband and wife. He gave them, said multiply and be fruitful. He wanted them to have children. He wanted a relationship. That was important to God. It's important to us too. That's why that we so many times get on the wrong road and make mistakes, because we're so hungry for relationships that we do it the wrong way. If our relationship with God is not right first, then nothing else to follow that will truly be complete. We must completely have a complete relationship with God first and say, God, You're the most important thing that I have in my life, because all this other stuff is going to pass away, but I still got You. My wife may pass away, but I still got You. My husband may leave, but I still got You. My children may be gone one day, but I still got You. My health may decline, but I still got You. I've still got that blessed hope and assurance that You're not going to leave me and You're not going to forsake me, that You are forever mine and I am forever Yours. What the Bible says. Let's get some scriptures in Jeremiah. We're going to start in Jeremiah chapter 31, beginning with verse 31 as well. 31:31. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judea. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband to them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts," or inward parts, "and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people." See, God wants us to be His special people. He wants that relationship to where we can call Him our God. As we sung the song, He's our friend. The Bible says that we're a friend of God. I like Mel's analogy. How awesome would that be to go to someone, hey, I'm Bruce Hedrick. I'm God's friend. You need some help, call me. I'll hook you up with the big guy. You're God's friend. You know why we're God's friend? Because He took sin out of the way. The Bible says we were one time enemies with God. We were unreconciled to God because of our sin. But when sin was removed, when Jesus died and all of our sin was removed, and all the wrath that we should experience, He experienced for us, we went from being His enemy to now being His friend. No longer did sin separate us from God anymore. The veil was torn forever, and we were now His people again, washed and cleansed by His blood. So He came that we could be His people and He could be our God. Do you know Him today as your God, or do you just know Him as a God? There's a big difference. Do you know Him as your Savior, as your provider, as your counselor, or just as one that can do those things? How do we see God? Where's our relationship at? Do we have a distant relationship? You know, there's a song that came out, I guess it's the 90s it came out, and I hate this song. I mean, it's a popular song, but it just made no sense. I never liked it. I forget who sung it, but it was that song, God in a Distance. How's that go? Yeah, from a distance. Well, anyway, talking about God's, Yeah, Bette Midler. God from a distance. I can't remember the lyrics now. Sing it. Yeah, there it is. God is watching us. God is watching us from a distance. I never liked that song because God is not watching us at a distance. God is living inside of us, and God is very close. God is not this some kind of alien being that's hovering over earth like a monster trying to observe the planet. God is a living creator living inside of you, inside of me, if we're believers in Him. He's a living God that we can have a personal relationship with. I don't have to hope God accepts my friend request. I don't have to text God and hope that He sends me one back, or hope that He got it, or hope He's got a signal, because He does. He's very attentive to every word that I say, every tear that I cry, every pain I'm experiencing. God knows and God hears. From those moments of when you're on your deathbed and you say, God, I'm just ready to go on. God, will You come take me? He hears you. From the moments where you're just thinking you want to end it all, you're like, God, I'm at the end of my rope. I can't go one more day or take one more step. That relationship we have with Him is so alive and so strong, we can hear Him speak to us. Whisper that voice of love and comfort and say, no, son, you're mine. No, daughter, you're mine. I know what you're going through because I'm your God and you're my people. God is very attentive to your needs. He knows what you need. He knows what you're battling. He knows what you're experiencing. And there's nothing that catches Him off guard. But we need to understand, in order to get what we need to live every day, we must walk in that relationship with God every day. And relationship is more than this. You look up relationship by Webster's definition, it talks about, it means to be connected. Are we connected with God, or are we severed from God? Having a relationship with God is more than coming on Easter Sunday morning, as we can see, right? It's a lot more than coming one time a year. It's a lot more than coming to church one time a week. It's a lot more than giving our offering one time a week, or it's more than saying our blessing over our breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Having a relationship with God means we're talking to Him, that we know who He is, that we are communicating with Him in such a way that He's like the first one we turn to. If you're married and you have a good marriage, you're the first one you tell the news to is your spouse, right? If you got any kind of news to tell, you're calling your wife, calling your husband, if you've got a good relationship. Now, for some people, they don't. They tell everybody but their wife and husband why they don't have a good relationship. But if you get some news, the first one I think about calling is Melanie. If I hear anything, I want to call her. Hey, guess what? Because that's who I want to communicate with. Because that's who I'm in a relationship with. We need to have that kind of mentality with God. That, you know what, I'm in a relationship with Him. He wants to hear from me. And I've got to take that time to talk to Him. It's like I've said before. We say we don't have time to pray. Don't have time to come to church. Don't have time to spend time with God. Don't have time to read. But we will make time for anything else we desire. We will make time. Facebook's an addiction. Do you know that? They ought to have a group called, FA, Facebook Anonymous. I mean, it's an addiction. And we love reading the drama of other people. All the stuff on Facebook that people put. I'm like, are you serious? You just put that for the whole world to see. Are you serious? And we check it, and we check our messages, and we check our phone. I mean, we absolutely are, some of us are obsessed. We can't, it's like it's glued. It's like you try to throw your phone away. It won't leave your hand. We've been consumed by technology. You know, I realized how dependent we are when our power went out the other night. We lost power for about 6 hours at our house. And I was stir crazy. Can't do nothing. Can't watch TV. Can't get on the internet. Can't do anything on the computer. Can't really, the hot water is very limited. It's what's in the tank and you're out, so you ain't got no like hot water to go take a nice long shower because you'll get cold on you. You have no lights in the house. You can't open the refrigerator with all that food, and I just got some food, and I couldn't even get in there because you don't want to let all that stuff out, right? You're bound. You're shackled. So what does your great pastor do? He goes to the wilderness and spends time fasting and praying for the Lord. Wrong. Instead of taking that time to spend with God, hey, Ash, let's go do something. I'm bored. Mally was sick, so she was home in bed. So I'm going to take Ashley out of the house a little bit. We'll go out. I went to the park, and we watched the ducks, and we went and got something to eat and took her to Walmart to look at some stuff. And I was going crazy. And at this point, when I was going crazy, and I only power been out an hour. I got to get out of the house. I can't sit here and not do nothing. We're so programmed that we've got to be doing something all the time. And God's like, here I am. Invest in me. Talk to me. Have a relationship with me. Spend some time with me. Take 15 minutes, 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Read a few scripture and let me talk to you. We got to know who God is. And we can't know who God is if we don't spend any time with him. God wants us to have a relationship. Go to the next verse. They shall teach no man more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's a pretty good relationship to have, isn't it? That you have a God that's going to forgive you of your iniquity and remember your sin no more. How many times we get in arguments with our husbands and wives and we bring up something from 22 years ago? You remember when you said, remember that? I never forgive you for saying that. You remember that day? Yeah, I know. I was wrong. Messed up. Can't change it. Can't erase it. So quit nagging about it. Because nothing's going to change. Boy, we don't forget. How many of us have said this? Well, I forgive them and I won't forget what they've done to me. Well, you still got that little chip on your shoulder, don't you? You're walking in Walmart. You see that woman has done you wrong. That's what you do. Look at her. Think she's all holy in that. Aren't you that God's not like that? This relationship God has with us, he forgives us. He cleanses us. He wipes it away because he wants a relationship with us. He really wants a relationship. If more marriages could be saved if both people truly wanted a relationship with each other. But they don't. Being married takes a relationship. It takes putting up with the bad, accepting the good, working things through, not throwing in the towel, but working and investing in that relationship. God has a desire for us to walk closer to him than we are now and to have more intimate time with him. And we can draw strength, we can draw power, we can draw peace, we can draw joy all from God's presence if we'll spend time with him. I just ain't happy, Pastor. I ain't been happy for a long time. I'm miserable. Spend time with God. What's that going to do? Just trust me. God has what you need. You know, we don't need a magic lamp with a genie and 3 wishes. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We all dream about that. That'd be wonderful. Wonderful. Rub a bottle. Genie comes out. Make all your wishes come true. What do you want? But we would find that in the natural, all wishes have a consequence, don't they? All wishes have a consequence. The Twilight Zone episode where a guy does that in his shop. He finds an old lamp, he rubs it, genie comes out, gives him 4 wishes. And he says, each one's got a consequence. Think carefully before you wish. So one of the wishes he wishes for is $1 million. I want $1 million in $5 and $10 bills on the floor. Wouldn't that be fun? Well, Bruce lit up on that. That'd be cool, wouldn't it? $5 and $10 bills. All of a sudden, they started falling out of the ceiling. And him and his wife's like, oh, $1 million. Well, guess who shows up at the door? Yeah, Mr. IRS. And this is so stupid. I don't know what kind of, we think our tax code's bad. I don't know where he got this tax code. But he said, on $1 million with your dependents for two people, you owe the IRS out of the $1 million, $947,000. So they only got to keep like $60,000 of it. Then, you know what the second wish was? He says, I'm not going to wish for money this time. I want to be a world leader of a current contemporary nation. I want to be a world leader of a nation. So the genie says, are you sure? Yes, I want to be a world leader in this in a contemporary country, recent generation. Not nothing way back, but recently. So he wakes up, and guess where he's at? Nazi Germany. He's Hitler. So he's got his hand on his desk, and he's got the little mustache, and the guy brings the poison in and says, drink this, because, he killed himself. Drink this. He was Hitler. He didn't specify. All he says, a world leader, temporary country. And then he had another wish, the third wish. What was the third wish? See, Hitler and then the money. I can't remember the third, but anyway, it didn't work out either. So, do you remember it, Mom? Oh, that's right. He said, just take me back to where I am. So he went back to this little shop, this little pawn shop, no money, broke, bills piled up, but was happy. We think we can find our happiness in other places besides where God has us. But sometimes, well, most time, I'd say all the time, if we're following God and we're His, He's God's where He wants us. If we can learn to accept that and embrace that. I'm not saying that there's not other dreams God has for us, other things, but learn to be happy, content where God has you. Because as the old saying is, and if any of you have done this, you know what I'm talking about, no raising of hands. But when people jump fences to have affairs, they find out the grass ain't always green on the other side. They find out their wife wasn't too bad. I've told my wife that she would be very hard to replace. That's for sure. She's one of a kind. And she'd be very hard to replace. Just because she's a woman, and just because I'm a guy, because guys, like women, supposed to, doesn't mean that I would just automatically find somebody else I loved. Love's a very deep thing, a very real thing. And, I look back at my life. You ever do a rewind of your life? Kind of rewind. Especially when you get me and Bruce's age and Melanie's age and, somebody else's age, You start kind of rewinding. Sorry, Bruce. You start kind of rewinding your life. Saying, okay, here I am. I'm over halfway home. I'm just saying. Over halfway home. What have I done at the first half? It's halftime for me and Bruce, okay? I'm just talking the natural. It's halftime, brother. So we come out of the locker room. The referees call us back out. What do we do with our second half of our lives? Are we where we're supposed to be? Have we done what we're supposed to have done? Where has God brought us? Where is He going to take us to? Because every season changes. But the one constant that is all of our seasons is this, that He's my God and I'm His people. He's still my God. And God, I got to trust You that every step of my life, that You're leading me through that, that I'm where I'm supposed to be because I'm in You. I'm in the right relationship. There's no doubt that I married the right woman. There's no doubt. She may doubt she married the right man, but I never doubt that I married the right woman. Not for a second. I never think back, man, I should have married that one. I should have married that one. If I just had waited, I wouldn't be in the shape I'm at now. If I just would have waited. I've never thought that. Even though that seemed pretty realistic right there, didn't it? I've never thought that. I know I married the right one. I know all three of our kids are from God. I know they're all supposed to be here. They're all planned by the Lord to be in our lives. There's no doubt about that. I know God called me to pastor. I know God called this church to come together. There's no doubt about any of that. How can we have that kind of peace with so many decisions through our lives? Because our relationship with God, God, I trust you. If we could learn to trust God with all of our life, I mean all of it, with our dreams, our future, our hope, everything. God, I trust you with my money, with my health, just with my family. God, I just want you to cover my life, and I trust you as my God to do what you want to do in my life. Relationship, being connected to God, hearing his voice. And yes, God speaks to us. Of course he speaks to us. And we see the voice of God and we hear his voice all the time. We'll take time to listen. Man, there was a wind came up at our house. I was on a living room couch just before the power went out. I'm on the couch and I hear this sound all of a sudden. And I look out the window and the trees across the street from our house, the woods are just, I mean, I've never seen those big trees bent that low. And this powerful wind just came through all of a sudden. Just, whoosh, I mean, it was blowing stuff everywhere. And then it lasted about 10 minutes like that. And then all of a sudden it was calm. There wasn't a leaf moving. I'm like, man, you can feel and sense the power of God. That there's something so much bigger than us alive and well. And how that bigness of God and that power of God chose to live inside of us. Us. The Bible says we are now the tabernacles of God. We are the living tabernacles of God that his presence dwells in. He chose to live inside of us. He chose us to have a relationship with. While we were yet sinners, he commendeth his love toward us. He died for the ungodly. He died to have relationship with us. He gave it all up that he could have relationship with you and me. Go to the next scripture. I got one more scripture I want to read in Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Ephesians 2 and 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, talking to Gentiles, having no hope and without God in the world. Think about how our lives would be if there was no God in our lives. If there was no hope of God in our lives. If there was nothing else to look forward to. If there was nothing else beyond this. What do we have to look forward to if there's no God? If there's no future glory, if there's no eternity, what gives us any hope to live every day? Nothing. But because we had that relationship with the Lord, and he says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And he says that nothing can separate you from my love. Death can't. Life can't. Angels can't. Principalities can't. Nothing present or nothing to ever come can separate me from God's love. You know what that gives me? Hope that this relationship's forever. That when I got saved, God put his ring on my finger. Says, you're mine forever. And even death will not do us part. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's a relationship that's so real, that's so deep, that we can count on, church. We can take it to the bank and know he's not going to ever forsake me. God's there for me. When I mess up, he's there. When I'm afraid, he's there. When I've even lost my way, he's there. When I've changed seasons and I'm not sure where I'm at anymore, he's still there. And when I feel hopeless and helpless and discouraged, he's there. Be very weary. I understand we should be positive and we have a lot to give God thanks for. But be very weary of people that seem to never have any problems. Be very weary of people that have this smile on their face all the time, like a robot. God is good. 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 I know he's good. But don't you go through nothing? Come on. Be real. Be honest. I need Bruce coming to me saying, Pastor, man, I know what you're going through. Because I'm telling you, I faced it too. And I went down this road and I did this and I was in this place and I was desperate and I was empty and I was lonely and I was searching and, you know, I thought I was, you know, and then all of a sudden God showed up and spoke these words in my life and he helped me. Don't we need to hear those kind of words? I need to know somebody else is going through something besides me. Not that I want the old saying, misery loves company. I'm not talking about, you know, how dry I am hitting the jail bars with a tin cup. I'm not talking about living like that. I'm just saying we need to be real with ourselves and real with each other and help each other and encourage each other and let each other know, you know what, I'm going through that or I've been through that or I've seen that and you'll get through this. God help me, God will help you. Just trust him. This relationship we have with God goes far beyond any human rim relationship we could ever have because God is not ever going to let us down or ever disappoint us. We may think that. I prayed, God, you didn't hear me. I prayed, you ain't answered. God, I've learned to realize, not really learned it yet, but I'm trying to learn it, that just because a door that we pray for doesn't open doesn't mean God's not answering that prayer. There are many times God's not opening that door because it's for our own good. He's protecting us from going through something that wasn't meant to be. We may want it. But here's where our prayer should really be. I mean, we pray this in our general prayers, right? We read the scripture. Let thy will be done, God. Let thy will be done. But do we really want God's will or do we want our will? Do we really want God's will or do we want our will? There's many things I want in my life. I have personal desires, personal dreams, personal things I would, you know, like to have and like to achieve and place I like to go. I think we all have that. Don't we all dream of that? Just be able to just get in the jet plane and just go. Well, Doc's living that dream, but for most of us, we can't. And so we want to just get somewhere and just go. Just travel. Just start all over again. You ever want to start over again? Just start over. Just start from scratch. Take your life of Play-Doh and crumble it up and just remake something else. Don't you love Play-Doh? Oh, it smells good. You can mold it and mash it, and you can make a worm. Then you can make a ball. Then you can make a man. Then you can make a hot dog, a taco. You can I'm doing all food, sorry. You can make all these things. And then just crumble it up and make something else. We all dream of that sometime, but you know what? The Bible says that we are the clay and God is the potter. And if we trust God as our God, and he's really ours, and we're really his, then our prayer should be this. Lord, I truly am the Play-Doh, the clay. You form me how you want me to be. God, you make me what you want me to be. Because when you make me and you form me, it'll be right. God, it'll be right. I'll mess it up. But God, you won't. Because you have a purpose for my life, and only you know what that purpose is. Only you have the plan for my life. So God, I give you myself in this relationship. Teach me, talk to me, help me, strengthen me, and let me listen to you. You know, the problem, a lot of the problem in married relationships is communication. Because men and women think totally different. I had something I was going to read this morning, but I didn't get it printed off. We think totally different. Amanda had something on Facebook I was going to share this morning. It was really neat, but I didn't print it off. And a couple of things it's talking about from a man's point of view, how we communicate. One thing it says from a man's point of view, and I know from my point, this is so true. Talking about wives, says when you have a problem, and you don't want us to give you advice, you just want to listen. You just want us to listen to you. That's what your girlfriends are for. We're going to give you advice. We're going to try to solve it for you. That's what we're geared to do. I don't know, many times Melly shares stuff. She'll share something on her heart or burden. I'll try to tell her what to do. I don't want you to tell her what to do. I just want you to listen to me. Right. That's what the girlfriends are for, right? The husband's geared to try to solve it for the wife, to try to give her an answer, try to help her. Because we're geared that way. Here's what you need to do, honey. I don't want to be told what to do. I just want to whine. Well, I don't receive whining well. I'm trying to give you a solution. We're so geared differently. It's not either one's fault. We're made different. Thank God we're different. We're supposed to be different. And I thank God we're different. We're just relationships are about communication. And many women and men can't figure that out to accept, hey, this is how I think, this is how you think. We'll talk about it, but understand we're wired differently. Relationship with God is the same way. We got to talk to Him, communicate with Him, and listen to Him. We don't take time to listen. We spurt out all this stuff to God, all these complaints, all these things, all this, you know, what do I do, what do I do, what do I do? But we don't take time to hear what He says back. And we go out on a tangent and just do it our way anyway and wonder why we're in trouble. Take time to listen to God. Go to the next verse, Jeremy. Now in Christ Jesus, you are sometimes far off. You are separated from Him, is what he's saying, Paul is. But now you are made near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath both won and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There was a separation between us and God because of sin. The relationship was not fully together. But now the blood of Jesus tore that wall down, so now I can have a real relationship with God, not some distant thing where I call out His name and hope He hears me, but that I can walk and talk in Him and Him walk and talk in me. A real relationship of communication. He has abolished in His flesh on the cross the enmity, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile, means bring back together, both, talking about the Jew and the Gentile, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereof. He has abolished that wall of separation. He brought all of us into one family for relationship. Man, relationship's great. I mean, it's the most important thing in life we have is relationship. You know, when Burma passed away, Burma Short a couple years ago, 3 years ago, her and Virgil were married for about 40-some years, over 40 years, I think, or right at 40 or a little over 40. Right at 40, I think. And, you know, I've went to see Virgil many times since Burma's died, and every time, not a time I don't talk to him, he don't, in our conversation at one point, start crying, saying, I sure miss her. She was a good woman. I'll never have another woman like that. She was so wonderful to me, so good to me. When that relationship is severed, you miss it. Sometimes we don't realize what we have until it's gone, as the old saying goes. And we take each other for granted. It's easy to take your partner for granted. I mean, where's Melanie going to go, really? She ain't going to leave me. Look what. Can she do better than this? Are you kidding me? Where's she going to go? We take it for granted sometimes. She's always there. I'm always there. You know. But when that relationship is severed, we start realizing what's missing. There are many people that's missing that relationship with God, and they're not sure what it is, but they know something's missing. What is it missing? Why am I so empty? Why do I just feel like something's not quite, there's something missing in my life? I mean, you might be happy, have a good job, have a nice car, your bills are paid, you got whatever, but there's something inside of you that still longs for something. There's something missing. We were created. Human race was created. That's why even other countries, there are in different religions and false teachings, people by the thousands and millions gravitate toward it because they want something bigger than them. They want a relationship with something bigger than them. There's got to be something more than just me, more than just my wife, more than just my children. There's got to be something more and deeper than what I can touch here on earth. What is that? It's that relationship with our Creator. He made us to worship Him, created us to worship Him, to honor Him, to love Him, to communicate to Him. That's what He wants. He desires the praises of His people. That's what the Bible says. He dwells in the praise of His people. He wants us to talk and love and honor Him. This wall has been separated now, tore down, so now we can have a real relationship with God in human flesh. And He came and He preached peace to you which were afar off. You were way away, but to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access. Look at this, access. That means entryway. That means, you know, we can approach Him. By one Spirit unto the Father. We now have access to God because of what He did for us. Access to God, to His throne, to His presence. We are no more strangers. We're no more foreigners. But we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are builded together for what? A habitation of God through the Spirit. We are the habitation of God. That relationship is so important to God that he came to dwell in us. To lead us, to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us. Talk to him. Just talk to him again. Get your communication going with God again. It doesn't matter what storm you're going through. He's right there in the storm with you. He's right there. Doesn't matter how dark your season is. He's still the light in your darkness. He's there. He's not left you. Talk to him. Get that strength. There's no other strength possible more powerful than what God can give you. Just trust him. Say, God, we're in this forever. You're not going to leave me. I don't always see the big picture. I don't understand why things happen the way they happen. I don't know why I'm miserable. I don't know why I'm tired. I don't know why I'm discouraged. I don't know why I'm so afraid. But God, I need you to talk to me and help me. Let me know you're there. Let me know you're there, God. And he will. But we've got to take time to listen, and we've got to take time to talk and spend time with him by just talking to him again. Just get you some private time. Go somewhere by yourself. Just take a moment and some time to talk to him again. Have that relationship with me. That's what gives us our strength. You know, I find myself becoming so busy with just life that I don't take time to be with God. And I'm like, but God, you are life. How can I even separate the two? You are life. We've got to be careful that we don't get so distracted by other things that we invest our time in relationships, and not just with people, but relationships with things. Relationship with spending time in the wrong places with the wrong people, doing the wrong stuff, trying to find our hope and our outlet and our help. Our strength cometh from the Lord, the Bible says. Our hope cometh from God. And what this generation needs is a real relationship with Jesus, to where they know he's not some fictitious myth or made-up man or some distant being that may hear you if you say the right words. You know, if that guy was texting God, I don't know how to pray. What an honest, do he even know how to pray? There's no formula to prayer. And it doesn't impress God for you to say, oh, holy God, how great thou art, mighty Jesus. We ask you to come into this place and show your face. Bestow your grace all in this place. It don't matter how we try to pray or do it in a style or a way or with a quivery voice. Oh, God, I love you. And Jesus is on your side. It don't impress God none. That just gets you out of breath quicker. Makes you a lot thirstier. Be yourself. Talk to God from your heart. God, I don't know if I even believe anymore. That's what from your heart. Talk to him. God, so many things seem so unclear to me. How do I fix them? How do I hear? How do I know what truth is? For our young generation, especially getting so, some of us that are older have some wisdom about us. So we have some truth and we know. But for our younger generation, man, they got so many messages. They don't know what to believe. They got school telling them one thing. They got internet telling them one thing. They got politicians telling them one thing. They got rappers telling them one thing. They got actors and actresses telling them one thing. They got mamas and daddies telling them one thing. And they're like, well, who do I listen to? You listen to God. That's who you listen to. You listen to God. And God will let you know what truth is. God will speak that truth in you and you'll just know it. And you'll know that's truth. Thank you, God. Thank you for speaking that to me. Just talk to him again. Get back talking to him. We've lost that art. Texting has took that art away of talking to people. I would still much rather have a conversation with someone than I would text someone. I really would. I'd much rather Doc call me from Florida. Hey, Brother James, how you doing? I want to hear his voice. Texting's okay. It's convenient. It's very convenient. Depends on who's texting. Well, that's true. Yeah, I guess so. But I'm talking about in general. It's nice to have a conversation, isn't it? To hear the warmth of a voice. You know, back, and for some of you, for you know, when me and Mallory was dating, we used something called a home telephone. It had a dial that you went like this. That's always dating. I don't think, Mom still had, I think, a rotary on the kitchen wall. Yeah. 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 You had that long cord, remember, that went three rooms. Me and Melanie, we'd call each other, and it was so beautiful. We've lost this art, because everything now is computerized. You can't tell really what somebody's feeling. I mean, they can text you thinking about you. Well, what does that mean? Thinking about wanting to kill me? Thinking about you hate me? Thinking about you want to be with me? Thinking about you love me? What does that mean? But when you're on the phone, hey, baby, I've been thinking about you. She knows exactly what I'm talking about. There's no guesswork into it. There's no reading between the lines. We would talk for hours on the phone. I'd get home at night from work or whatever, 9, 10 o'clock. Whatever I'd call. We'd talk to midnight. Just talk on the phone. We'd be 20 miles apart where she lived from me almost. I mean, she wasn't nowhere close. On the phone, just talking. I mean, you know, it's like have the girls sitting on the bed at their feet. Yeah, we just talk. Mom and Dad being there in bed, I'd be in the kitchen trying to be quiet, you know, talking just in the middle of the night. But I mean, you think, how can you talk about so much? Because we had a relationship. We never ran out. We still don't. We do not run out of stuff to talk about. We just don't. There's just too much to talk about. It's because of a relationship. You'll never run out of what to talk about with God if you got a relationship with Him. Talk to Him. Let Him hear your voice and hear God's voice. And don't be so quick. All right, God, you got 5 minutes. Lord, I need your help. Amen. All right, let's go. I've said my prayer. Break. It's not a huddle. We're not a two-minute drill. Take time to digest what God wants to speak to you. Because when we have a real relationship, we want to hear what God has to say. And we want to be with God. We want to be. Remember when Moses went up that mountain to hear from God? He left his people and went up there for, 40 days? Went up on that mountain. Away from all the noise. Away from all distractions. He had to know what to do. I got all these people out here, God. 2 million people now. What now? He had to get away and hear. And man, when he did, we know the story. The Ten Commandments were written by the fingers of God. He's on that mountain. And Moses came down with something he needed. Direction. Instruction. We need direction and instruction again in our lives. And we need to hear it from God, not from man, but from God. The Holy Spirit lives in you if you're a believer this morning, church. He lives in you. Tap into that source. Tap into it. You know, we have so much oil in this nation right now in America. If we could tap into our own reservoirs, if our government would let us tap into our own reservoirs, we would never be dependent on foreign oil again, ever. There's enough resource in our own nation to supply for endless years. Same way with the Holy Spirit. It's an endless supply within us. Tap into it. You need some joy? Don't go get drunk. Get Jesus. You need some peace? Don't go do some yoga and go Debbie. That's an old commercial, by the way. Not your wife, Debbie. That's an old commercial. Go to Jesus. He's got your peace. You need some direction. Don't go to some wacko that don't have a clue what's going on in his life and his life's a shamble. Go to Jesus. Don't go to, I don't mean to be offensive. I'm just saying. We go to sources that don't make sense. Don't go to a man, if you're a man, that can't keep a woman and ask how to be a good husband. Well, here's what you do. Really? You've been married how many times? And still can't make it stick? Really? Why do we take advice from that? Go to God. Go to the source that you need help from. He's got what you need. And He wants a relationship with you so bad that He wants to speak things into your life. But we don't take time to hear them. When's the last time any of you took in time? It's going to sound so corny. Taking time to just go outside and listen to the birds. Just really not do anything, not mow the yard, not sweep off the carport, not check the oil in your car. Just go outside, sit down in your yard, and just listen to what's around you. The birds are singing all the time. We've got a bird to build a nest on our front porch light. Front porch light is a nest. And he had babies. And we saw little birdies. Do you call them little birdies? Okay. The little birdies poking their heads out of a little nest on our front porch. And every time you get near that nest, the mama bird flies back. She's watching them birds. It's funny. Take time just to hear the creation of God. Take time to look at the sky and the sunsets, the moon phases, the stars at night. Just take time. The dogwoods, they bloom. I mean, all this is creation of God. All this is His relationship to us. I'm giving you this to watch. I'm giving you this to hear. I'm giving you this to see. I mean, don't the snow and the hard winter we had make you enjoy spring right now a lot more? Thank God. And it's still cool. We're still having very cool nights. Just take time. When you go to the ocean and see the waves coming in, when you go to the mountains and see them painted against the sky, God did that. God wants us to know who He is, and He shows us in everything who He really is. It's a beautiful thing to have a relationship with the Lord. Take time again. If you don't have one today, ask the Lord. Say, Jesus, I need a relationship with You. I'm tired of being lonely and empty and missing something. I need You, God. I need You to come into my heart and to my life and be the Lord of my life. Don't matter the Lord of somebody else's life. Lord of my life. You know, I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised with two parents that were saved my whole childhood. I got saved when they were young, so I was raised by two Christian parents. But He wasn't Lord of my life until I made Him Lord of my life. I couldn't understand until He touched me. Make Him the Lord of your life. Have a relationship with Him, not knowing about Him, but knowing who He is. See, you don't want to be just an acquaintance. Most of us have acquaintances in our lives, very few friends. Most of us just have acquaintances. I've got very few people I feel comfortable calling and sharing in my personal business. I mean, I might have one or two people in my life other than Melanie I could call. Other than my parents and Melanie, one or two people I could probably call and share something very personal. But many of us have acquaintances. Followers, they call them on Twitter, right? Man, I want to follow Jesus. Nobody following me. We need to follow Jesus. Have that relationship. If it's not where it needs to be, you can get it restored. Say, God, help me. I want to walk again the way You want me to walk. You can play a little something, Bruce. We're going to close out service, church. I'm not going to drag us out. I just want to say a closing prayer this morning. For those of you that are missing that in your life, and you're searching for truth, I want to challenge you to do this. I just want to challenge you. I really want to put this out there. Just start from your heart, really calling out to God. Saying, God, I need You. I need to hear from You. I've not heard from You in a while the way I want to hear from You. And God, I'm tired. I'm distant right now. Maybe I'm a little cold. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be distant. But I've let things come to my life and take me away from You. I've let other relationships be more important than ours. If that is you today, I'm just going to pray a prayer. If you'll bow your heads with me, please. And I just want to pray with this congregation this morning. God, for every heart that is searching for something more than what they have now, You're what they're searching for. You put within every human being a desire for something more. Even in countries and nations and places that haven't heard of You, maybe, there's a hunger and desire that's pointing them to something bigger than themselves. We hope for that glory. We hope for that future, God. We hope for that relationship that's beyond human rim. We're disappointed with human rim relationships, God. We're let down. We're hurt. We're abandoned sometimes. We're forsaken. There are many of us that have been scarred by human relationships. We've been scarred. We've been battered. We've been beat. disappointed. But God, you'll never disappoint us, and you'll never hurt us, you'll never scar us, you'll never abandon us, you'll never leave us. Your relationship with us, God's forever. It's eternal. It's secure. And I just pray, Lord, for every heart that doesn't have that relationship with you, that you'll begin to speak to them and just call their name, that they'll call upon you. They don't have to have all the answers today. They just need to know that you are the answer. And as they begin to seek your face, you're going to visit them and speak to them, give them dreams, give them visions, give them words of encouragement, words of life, to let them know you're not alone, you're not fighting alone. I'm with you. I want to be with you. I want to be your friend as I was Abraham's. I want to be your friend. I want to be your God. And he's asking you today, will you be mine? Because I want to be yours. Let the hearts today, God, be opened and receive this message today, that they will leave this place seeking you in a deeper way, seeking your presence in a mightier way, a more personal way, God, that they will seek you and find what they're searching for, that hearts are filled with all of what you have for them, Lord. We ask this, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. The church said, amen.